Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
The season that showed so much promise looks like a season we can't wait for it to finish. Welcome to the Bulldogs Fans Podcast. I'm Scott and I'm joined by Matt. I was going to ask how you're going like I normally would if I start, but I know the answer. It won't be good because after Sunday's embarrassing loss to Cronulla, this one still hurts me.
Yeah, look, I don't think too many... What a way to start the podcast, by the way. But I don't think too many fans were expecting a win on Sunday against the Sharks, but the performance that was dealt up was pretty... you called it embarrassing. I've seen it being labelled as not NRL standard. The defence definitely wasn't. I don't have too much to say about the game. To be fair, congratulations to Kyle Flanagan and Curtis Moran. Curtis Moran for their tries. Very good dummy half play down the short side. Saw the flan score. Why Curtis got the second of his career.
And a bit of a weird call calling it this his house call after scoring a try at 18-4 Cronulla. But good on the flan. He looked.
Is that what he was doing?
Yeah, I think it was.
Doing something along those lines, wasn't it? Yeah, on time to do it when you're three tries down, or two tries after the try, but it was interesting.
We've decided no points.
This is where we belong. This is where I belong type of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, back in top grade.
Yeah.
Like back with a hit. But we decided no points this week, but I thought personally only three players could have left with their heads high at the game without giving away points. That could have said they've done their job or did everything in their power to make the performance better. But apart from that, I think the rest will be a lot of tough conversations looking at each other. And I would have loved to have been almost in that room to say what was said, if there was any honesty between each other, because my three players, I thought, did well and could leave the head up high. Sorry, maybe four was Jacob Preston, Kyle Flanagan, Braden Burns, and Curtis Moran. Not enough to register a point because the defence in the middle was weak. But those four as a group, I know, and then there was moments where Braden Burns kept trying to throw an offload where he probably shouldn't have, but I could see why he was trying to. He was trying to get something magic happening to get him back in the game. But his runs was with effort. Flanagan looked like a top grade halfback, and it was a credit to him. You know, he's been playing hooker for a month or so in the New South Wales Cup. And then to come in from a different position again, to transition to a hooker and dominate and then go back to being halfback again and being the lead half. And then I think, you know, the two young players could hold their head up high, but the rest, like if they said that was the best effort they could put out there, that's alarm bells ringing for the rest of them.
Yeah, it was just
that's the best.
It's hard to really judge anyone's attacking performance or the performance of a halfback or anything like that when you've got a situation where the defence was as terrible as it was on the weekend. Got a bye this week. Hopefully they can get stuff sorted and look ahead to the week after. Let's move on from now. I know we haven't talked about it much, but I think there is really much to cover. Really sucky that we're looked to be in the... some groups started to form in the ladder, and we're definitely in the bottom three at the moment, the bottom three with the Tigers or the Dragons, so that's disappointing. Speaking about the Dragons, should we talk about the Bent Hunt news? Now, obviously, he's requested a release, and rumours are the Bulldogs are in the race for his services. What are our thoughts here?
We got a Haas problem, a massive Haas problem. I think Kyle Flanagan is gone. You look at the next options, Carl Oluapu, who I don't think is top grade standard just yet. I think he should be still in New South Wales Cup. He's only 18 years old. And there's glimpses of brilliance, but not consistent enough. to be a half. Then you look at Khaled Rajab. I don't think he's the answer for Matt Burton. And then you've got Ben Hunt. For me, you've got whatever he wants almost to get him at Belmore. But then I also look at the way he's acting to get out of the Dragons. Is not a positive. He's going to pay himself out of the contract. He said he's going to throw money to get himself out of the Dragons. It's not a good good finish between him and the Dragons. So it's
But he's like, you're right there. But I'm pretty sure Ben Hunt himself would say that he's obviously not happy with the way what the situation has come to. But keeping it, I guess, Bulldogs related, I think him coming into our squad, you'll definitely improve it, no doubt at all there. But I think, quite obviously, we need to sort out our front rows. It doesn't matter who we have in the halves or at fullback for that matter, if we don't start winning the battles in the middle of the field. So you went the route of Ola Apu and Rajad and Burton, who I think are all 5'8s, to be honest. But it doesn't matter if it's Ben Hunt or Andrew Johns, Cooper Cronk playing halfback, if the forwards aren't winning those battles and they're being dominated every week, it seems. Even in the games that have been close or the games that we've won, I don't think we've had a really dominant display by the forwards. Definitely not since before Origin 1 was picked. Pengai Jr. had that, 18 runs over 200 metre type game. We haven't done that.
Not being injured. Because apart from that, you're right.
Yeah, so we need to sort out our forwards, I think. I'd love to have Ben Hunt at the club. I think he's one of the elite halves in the game right now. And if he was to come to us, I think I'd be quite happy with that. But we definitely have bigger issues than just having Ben Hunt come in and fix it all.
Good point. But it kind of made me think, when you said we haven't won the battle, and, you know, Max King Hofer had a tremendous start to the season as he leads the Player of the Year polling for a while, and he hasn't scored in what feels like an age. We've got this habit of playing players injured, Max King being one. Jacob Carraz still can't run properly. He looks very awkward out there. Jake Avarillo, when he's chasing down Nico Hines, he chases down Nico 20, 30 metres earlier. He was struggling. His legs looked weird when he was chasing down Nico Hines. And chasing, he didn't look as the normal Jake Avarillo would while running. Them three are obviously not fit to play. Yet they are playing every week and not doing anything for their injury. They get the week off this week, but is that enough? Is another 2 or 3 weeks they need off? And when you think of the likes of Carraz and Avarillo, Blake Wilson, Jarrell Skelton, Declan Casey for the outside backs, they're there. Yes, they haven't played much top grade, but I'd rather have them play if they're fit than them carrying one leg.
Okay.
No, but I've just been
talking Ben Hunt.
No, we are talking Ben Hunt, but then you said we need to talk our forwards, and then we haven't won the forward battle since Max King's been playing injured. Since Max King has been playing with an injury that he hasn't obviously recovered from yet, we've got this obsession. Like, there might be this, you know, do the best you can for the club and, you know, show how tough you are, but that's just ridiculous. When there's other players below them who I'd rather have. Because Max King, at what he's doing now, we might as well have Jaden Tanner play. Might as well have Ryan Sutton play in that position until he can get better. So that would help our forwards a little bit instead of...
Yeah, well, I figure we need to put a broom through the forwards, especially the front row. Not really the other positions, the front row in particular is where the improvement needs to come, and it probably needs to come through signing players. There was good news on the weekend, though, Scotty. A couple of massive wins in the lower grades against the Penrith Panthers. First off, we'll start with the New South Wales Cup. Bulldogs 30, Panthers 16. Like I said, overturning last year's grand final, a massive result. Bailey Hayward had a really good game. He scored a try, kicked 5 from 7 goals. Interesting, though, in the last 23 minutes of this game, the only two scoring plays were 2 penalty goals. So 26-16 with 23 minutes to go. Bulldogs kicking 2 penalty goals to make the final score 30-16. What a win for the Cup.
Yeah, very good win. Yes, a lot of Panthers players were elevated into the NRL side this weekend due to Origin and a few little injuries there. But as we know, the Panthers have got a really good habit of next man up, and they've really built a really successful, you know, you're the next in line. And they play very similar or almost identical from at least flag up. Mm-hmm. They look like a one whole unit. So a player can jump up. So always good to beat the Panthers, but also in mind they were a little bit weakened during Origin for this Cup match.
Where does that leave us on the ladder? We maintain first?
Yeah, we maintain first on 24 points. We put a bit of a gap between the Panthers now, but the Jets are sitting below us on 23 points. So a point away, but the Panthers are on 20 now. So there's a bit of a gap now between first and third. We just got to get away from those Jets.
We've said it before, but it's shaping up to be a really great season in the New South Wales Cup, not just for the Bulldogs, but for the 5 genuine chance teams there at winning that one. If a lot of things are going to go right, they've got to stay fit. The top grade teams have got to stay fit, etc. But if those teams are playing the same way in the finals as they are now, it's going to be a great final series in the New South Wales Cup. That was on Saturday at Belmore. Later in the same day, the Jersey Flag game was played between two clubs, and another massive result for the Bulldogs, beating the Panthers 26-0, keeping the Panthers scoreless. Jonathan Sua, who was mentioned a few times on the podcast, scoring another double.
Yeah, very good win, a much needed win. I think the always the pleasing thing, especially in flag, keeping a team to nil, especially at that age group. Very easy to clock off and allow a try coming at the end, or, you know, a try or two, and really make the scoreboard look not as dominant as it should be. But the Bulldogs are sitting in second on 24 points. They're just below the Roosters. But they've moved up the ladder. The Panthers have gone down to fourth on 23. The Sharks, so it's a very tight top five, really, in the Jersey Flag.
Yeah, well, from memory, the Panthers were second and we were third heading into last week. So
yeah, with the Sharkies moved on the up. Can we just, I know it's a Bulldogs podcast, but the Melbourne Storm, kudos to them on fifth and 22 points. So they're in striking distance to maybe make a play at that minor premiership.
Yeah, it's good to see the Storm doing good in the junior grades. In flying up into Queensland, Queensland Cup home game for the Western Clydesdales in Toowoomba. They're playing Wynnum Manly. Another loss, but it was 32-42, so a high-scoring, close one, if you will. We got Mitchell Watson. He scored another double as well in the close loss. So you're only a 10-point loss there, and it's been a disappointing season for the Clydesdales in the Queensland Cup as well. So it's good to see a bit of a competitive game in that one, Scotty.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I think it's the thing now would be for the Clydesdales. I haven't actually seen the Queensland Cup, but now it's just competing in games and trying to jag wins because the season looks over. They're sitting in 13th, yes, with 6 points. They're above the Cutters and the Jets on 2, but they're well behind the Devils on 12 points, the next team. So just be about trying to close that gap with the Devils and see if you can maybe get above them or something as a bit of motivation.
Yeah, first season back, just compete in every game that's left and go from there, I think, for the Toowoomba. For Western Clydesdales. They used to be the Toowoomba Clydesdales. While we're talking about reserve grade or junior football, some good stuff in the week. The New South Wales Under-19s Women's Origin squad was announced, which included 7 Bulldogs Academy players.
That's going to strengthen the NRLW bit, isn't it?
Couldn't hurt. Definitely couldn't hurt.
That's well definitely done. Something that you put a string. But yeah, congratulations to the ladies.
Good to see. We've talked about the Bulldogs this year doing wonderful things in the female space, and that continues. So congratulations to the girls. And well, we're 1-0 down in the women's and the men's, so we might have to turn our attention to the 19s for some New South Wales success this year, perhaps. So that's happening in July for both the girls and the boys at that age group. In other news, Scotty, don't know what day it was, but it was over the weekend. I almost spit up my drink when I was reading an article that not only mentioned it was likely that Jake Avarillo was going to leave the Bulldogs to go to the Dolphins, but we were looking to sign one Tyrone May to come into the squad as well. I believe the article said, don't worry, Bulldogs fans, in better news, Tyrone May is linked to the club. For me, that's two lots of bad news, a loss-loss, if you will. A lose-lose, sorry.
I'll tell you one thing. I was reading some opinions on Tyrone May, and majority of it, I'll say 95%, was very negative to him. Because, you know, he's obviously has his well-documented trouble, and then he also looks like he has no remorse for what he's done, is that someone said he's a premiership winner, he brings experience, and that's something we need in our squad. And now I'll tell you one thing. If I played on that Panthers side the year that they won on the interchange bench, I'd be a premiership winner.
Yeah.
I'd be a premiership winner.
And that's not in... That's not like looking back at it. I remember when it happened, people were saying he's the most luckiest premiership winner of all time.
Yeah. We both, if we took the spot, I would say you're a better player than I was, we'd both have a premiership ring with the Panthers if we played on that side on the interchange bench. So, no, he didn't contribute anything positive to the Panthers. Anything, he held them back.
He's been playing terribly for the Catalan Dragons as well. Absolutely terribly in the Super League. He obviously has a relationship with Phil Gould, but...
And Kevin Serrato.
Yeah. Look, you don't want to, apart from, you know, give opinions on performances every week, you don't want to be negative about the club, but it'd be very hard to see Bronson Cherry running around and Tyrone May in Bulldogs colours. I think that would be a hard thing to swallow for Bulldogs fans. Both players would have to do a lot to win over the fans. I think Bronson Cherry probably in a better position than Tyrone May is, but comments I've seen to the post that was put up over the weekend were all negative. I don't think I saw anything positive, to be honest. And one person summed it up well when they said that they couldn't comprehend, basically, couldn't sort of make sense of that signing actually happening at the club. So that is disappointing. So hopefully that is not true. Moving on, in other news, Matt Lodge has been linked to the club. Another player with a troubled background. What's our thoughts on this one?
So you're talking about, it's funny and interesting, you talk about strengthening your forward pack. I was looking at Matt Lodge maybe at the Broncos. Does? Matt Lodge at the Roosters, and the way he's finishing at the Roosters does not strengthen our forward pack. I think he would add an issue if we had him and Tavita starting. I think would have one of the weakest or most inconsistent four packs in NRL. Would have Tavita when he wants to play and Matt Lodge when he wants to play. So putting the trouble aside, no. And interesting, I was looking at Twitter and someone said he's never finished a current contract, Lodge. He always goes and gets released. So that's another thing I'd look at, is not just that he had that, again, another player of troubled past, but he looks like he's not liked wherever he goes. Yeah, we kind of go to one club and you get released early. You could say a range of different things like salary cap management, better opportunity for the player to progress their top grade career. The Tigers looked like the most likely he was going to stay until he got fired from them. So, and then he gets released from Brisbane early and now released from the Roosters early and the Warriors as well. Does that not ring alarm bells?
Well, the last couple have been at his request. We'll put that out. Makes it a little bit different to the way it sounds when you initially hear it, at least. Yeah, look, another player, troubled background. I'm not his biggest fan. I think he played pretty decent football at the Warriors as well for a period.
The Warriors. He was on the ball there.
I think a lot of people are struggling at the Roosters this year as well, so I think that could work in his favour, to be honest. He does have experience, though, in the forwards. He's got some good size about him, so if he was to play his best football at the club, it's definitely Matt Lodge at his best is definitely somebody that we could use right about now.
It's another thing, too, is like as a club, you know, that's they got Bronson Cherry. And everyone's willing to give him a second chance, even though he's a drug cheat, and that's going to be the way that's going to stick with him.
Well, yeah, he's convicted.
So you got the one player, and could the Bulldogs fit 2, 3, 4 players who were got really?
So what you're saying, Scotty, is that most clubs have a no dickhead policy. We're going for the all dickhead policy.
Yeah, and I'm not saying thing, but. You wouldn't trust them on a bonding session, would you? Jesus, they could be anywhere.
Monday's going to become an issue again.
You could sign all 4 of them and then none of them play a game for different reasons of off-field. But also when you're trying to better someone's life, so I don't know. Bronson could be the nicest guy in the world who made a big mistake. I don't know. I doubt it, though, but... I made a big mistake coming through. He might come through, and there's 29 other people there who are not saying angels or anything, but, you know, just decent people off the field. That might change him because he's surrounding himself around good people all the time. Now, you add Tyrone May, who I think is fair call. He's a rubbish human being, and I think that's a fair call for anyone to say. When you thought you could show some remorse after a grand final win, he brings it all back up and doesn't care.
So it's not even remorse. Like, why? Why are you bringing that up at that time?
Yeah, but like, it obviously shows he's got no remorse or no regret for what he did.
It shows he's got no remorse, but like, yeah, I don't know.
So he's obviously a rubbish human being, and that's going to be the way. And if he comes to the club, I'm not going to like him, and I will continue not to like him as a person. I would stand my way to make sure every opportunity he did something bad will be highlighted on the podcast. Because you put them two together, and then you put Matt Lodge, who's a bit of a firecracker. I've heard some people report like he's very nice. He's actually a very nice guy now. I'm off the field, but geez, that's a risk. When you're looking at your roster and you're having 4 players that you're worried about every week because they could stuff up.
Well, to be fair to Lodge, he hasn't done anything for a long time.
Yeah, but I'm just saying...
What he did was quite bad when he was young, but that was, 10 years ago? Over 10 years ago now?
Yeah, so I'm just saying, but there's be at least 3 players in your roster that you're going to be worried about week in, week out for a while to make sure they don't do something stupid. And I think if you're worried about that, does it really outweigh this signing? Because we could get stuck and then we have to... And you're telling me Jake Averillo has to leave for these players?
That's the hard part. I thought it was shitty enough. Like, I was a big Shop fan. I thought it was shitty enough that we had to lose Shop sort of the same week we found out about getting Sherry. So, and now Averillo has been talked about at the same time as Tyrone May. It's quite disheartening as lifelong fans.
Can we stop signing this ex-Penrith stuff? Because you tell me, Tyrone May... What other interest is he getting? Tell me one other club who would want him. I don't even think the Tigers would even look at him.
Well,
for a second.
They probably would.
I don't think they would.
No, I could see it happening. Anyway.
I was just saying, with these players, I mean, apart from Lodge, there.
Well, the Lodge one might happen quickly because he's... Pretty sure he's been given a release from the Roosters immediately, so we'll find out where he ends up pretty soon. I'd imagine he wouldn't ask for a release if he didn't have a club for the rest of the year. Surely,
I look at Lodge and I can see 6, 7 NRL teams going, yes, we need to boost our forward pack. for at least the rest of the year, at the very least. I look at Tyrone May, and I don't think anyone goes, why would we want that in a squad? Like, I don't see any... Like, Lodge, you bring some benefit on field. May, you bring no benefit both sides of the coin.
Yeah, yeah. But
so that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I can understand why... Tigers
probably give him a 10-year deal as halfback and captain, the way they did their business. So.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. Is there any news that I've missed?
Well, the only, I suppose, good news, I suppose Michelle Bishop was reporting, she works for Channel 7 and SEN, saying that she spoke to the Bulldogs and said that no interest in Tyrone May whatsoever. No, it hasn't even been discussed. Also, no interest in Matt Lodge.
I believe after a Twitter blow up on someone's Twitter page.
Well, that's another thing, too, is that it starts to make you think that were they looking at it and they thought if we just release a bit of news.
I very much doubt it. Possibly, no, who knows?
Strange but in saying that, too, it is Gus Gould. At one stage, Luke Lewis was never going to leave the Panthers. He won a premiership with Cronulla.
So I
wouldn't trust him until it's confirmed these two players are signed.
So we got a professional reporter who's not one that's always reporting crap, saying that.
She's good.
So, I know, I'm giving her a rap. I'm saying she's not one of those regular
tabloid chasers.
Or heads that we see popping up on TV shows or radio stations, being over dramatized. She's a serious journalist saying that no interest in Tyrone May and Matt Lodge. That's awesome.
Yeah, I just would, obviously, when it comes to Gus, though, it wouldn't be surprised if both of them sign next week or in the coming weeks.
Anything else?
No, that was it. I just wanted to add that. I heard that before we jumped on recording.
Let's jump on to next week then. In the NRL and the Queensland Cups, there is buys.
Much needed for both teams.
The Clydesdales. So nothing happening this weekend at that level. Jumping to a state representative level, there's actually two State of Origin games this week, if you don't know. Wednesday night and Thursday night, of course. Men on Wednesday and the girls on Thursday. Both the women on Thursday, I should say. Both New South Wales teams needing to... for the men, they need to level the series. And for the women, they need to win by 9 points or more to win the series.
Would 8 draw and give it back to New South Wales?
No, there's a breakdown of countback system. There's about 10 ways of counting it back. So last year's result does not matter regardless.
Okay, just win by 9.
So we don't the article was on NRL.com before the first women's origin match, so you'd have to go check that out. But there's a list of tiebreakers.
Okay, well, we'll definitely win by 9.
Yeah, let's just win by 9 or more, and we won't need to worry about it.
Can we see like an 18-10 and the New South Wales go for a field goal? Wouldn't imagine that. Wonder if Queensland would be alert enough to try to shut it down.
I'm sure they will be. I'm sure they're looking at the score as in it's already 8-0 Queensland. Like, that's the way both teams will go. Let's have a look. I've just got the rules here. The series winner will be determined by aggregated scores accumulated across the two matches. If at the conclusion of the series the two teams are equal on aggregate score, a series winner will be determined according to the following criteria from the two matches. So most tries scored will be the next tiebreaker from the series. Then if equal, most goals kicked. Then if equal, most drop goals kicked. Then if equal, least amount of penalties conceded across the two matches.
Ooh, discipline.
Then if equal, the team that scored the first try of the series, which was Queensland.
Shit, so they all up.
How does that work? And it says, then if equal, how could both teams score the first try of the series? The team that scored the first goal of the series, then if equal, the team that scored the first drop goal of the series. Team that scored the first try of the series. How could that be equal? Anyway.
Even the first goal wouldn't be equal either. Someone's going to kick it first.
That's interesting. All right. Yeah, that's right. They can't score a try at the same time. Anyway.
Question that, if they did, like the...
Multi-ball rugby league, perhaps. Okay. In the New South Wales Rugby League, two games on the weekend. Jersey Flag on Saturday, 12 p.m. at Lidcombe Oval against the 10th place West Tigers. And then following that game straight away, the New South Wales Cup game, 2 p.m. again, obviously, at Lidcombe Oval. This time against the 10th place West Magpies. So heading into both those games as heavy favourites, I would suggest.
Hmm. No, definitely. I was just looking at the team list for New South Wales Cup to see if there's any indication where potential changes. Also, to keep in mind as well that some of the players that could be changed out might be just enjoying the week by before joining because of their grind each week. It might not be the best time to drop them down when the rest of the squad gets a bye. Kyle Flanagan's not named to play. So I wonder if that's any indication that he's involved in the team next week, the NRL.
He's about to be released to replace Ben Hunt at the Dragons.
There could be another one. There could be another one. No Joshie Reynolds.
Interesting.
But it's funny when we say that New South Wales Cup, you could have a different 17 players be announced. But also, I thought was interesting, no Hayes Perham. And the reason I say that, for people go, well, he's played every single game. And I've got the theory that he's just having the week off because of he's played every game before being dropped. Because I find it almost impossible. And also no Braden Burns as well.
He had a terrible game on the weekend. Perham, so did a lot of other players. You'd think that he got hooked from the fullback position, put into centre in the first half of that match. So you'd think that at very least he wouldn't be named a fullback again, and that he may even be pushed to centre for the next game against the Newcastle Knights in 2 weeks. However, given Serrano has talked a lot about dropping players and making people accountable, then doing very little in that way, it would not surprise me if Hayes Perham is named a fullback against the Knights as well.
It's very hard to pick because Serrano talks about the droppings and makes the change of Braden Burns in because he had to change the change. It was not an optional thing because that would be a big call dropping Josh out of car. That would definitely shake a lot of things. But you're 100% right. Not too sure where it stands. But the way I'm looking at it is Perham, at the very least, is going to go to centre. But I don't know how he can when you've got someone like Braden Burns who keeps playing or keeps playing well in top grade. Then unless it's a straight switch of Avarello, but still you're weakening the position and we've got to stop with this. Serrano says he's got this good relationship with Hayes. Well, he might have to use that good relationship to say, hey, you're not in our top 17. At all. But in saying that, like I said before, New South Wales Cup can change now before kickoff and a lot of players can be included in that side. And I'd imagine, like most New South Wales Cup games, there'll at least be one change to the 17 who was named.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few changes there. Bit of a smaller episode this week, guys, with the bye coming up. And also, we didn't go too far into the loss, given similar stuff is happening as previously, unfortunately. So apart from that, guys, I guess we will talk to you guys during the Origin. And Origins, and we'll talk to you guys before the Knights game, possibly.